This podcast includes graphic depictions of true crime cases and may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, this is Robin.
This is Jackie.
And this is Amanda.
And you are listening to We Saw the Devil, a podcast dedicated to horror, true crime, and all things macabre. If you want to follow us between shows, don't forget to check us out online. You can go to our website at www.wesawthedevil.com. You can follow us on Instagram at We Saw the Devil Podcast or on Twitter at We Saw the Devil. And if you want to follow specific co-hosts' social media, you can find the links to those on our website as well. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of We Saw the Devil. And tonight we are going through the batshit insane Lori Vallow updates because we can't get a week off.
Luckily, things are moving along at least, right?
Yeah, actually much faster than I had previously anticipated. I have to say, I knew that there would be kind of a moment where the floodgates would open, but all of a sudden this week, some really big developments have occurred.
And some were postponed.
So how is everyone out there? Are you staying at home? I think everyone is getting a little stir crazy. The world is ending around us. How are you doing, Amanda?
As predicted.
We're not in July yet. The portal is not open yet.
Just waiting for that portal.
So yeah, we hope all of you are safe, washing your hands, not touching your face, and doing well in this time. I know it's been rough, not, you know, completely joking, but it's been a rough time for a lot of people, and we hope you are doing well, and thanks for listening, as always. But yeah, let's just go ahead and get into it. So Amanda, do you want to talk about our Patreon?
I do. So I wanted to thank all of our patrons, Amy, Derek, Ian, Iris, Nikki, and Shauna. And a special thank you to our executive producers, which are Ian, Iris, and Shauna. So thank you to, again, to all our patrons. And if you do want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/wesawthedevil. We have some goodies on there, some content just for our patrons. And we will also occasionally send little goodies. So check your mail soon before the end of the month.
Yes, and our executive producers will be getting an extra little goodie this month. So Check your mailboxes.
we'll put a little note when we get everything sent out. And the mail has been a little slower, so we will at least give you a heads up.
Next week, the mail may not actually exist. So.
Well, we're hoping at least you guys get your stuff first.
Before we return to Pony Express and pigeons.
I hope you've been training your birds well, Robin.
Oh my god. Speaking of, nice segue.
Yeah, I'm good at this.
Speaking of, if any of you hear in the background this evening, I have parrots, and the time of recording is they are sundowning currently and getting ready for bed, and unfortunately I have cockatoos that are very, very, very loud. So yeah, if you hear them, I sincerely apologize. I hope it does not detract from your listening experience.
And also, they may start bringing the mail soon, yes. So get used to them.
It's true.
Well, Vallow updates, everyone's favorite thing. I mean, we've talked about doing a couple other things coming up, and the question always is, but will you stay up to date on Vallow? Clearly, we're obsessed.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yes, we are. And to be honest with you, now, as I stated in last week's episode, we have the East Area Rapist episodes coming later this week. But as always, when it comes down to recording day, it's like the Lori Vallow case just decides to take a big crap right in the middle of the news cycle. So here we are. But yeah, a lot of new stuff this week. It's really interesting. And I have to say, I'm really super impressed with all of these armchair web sleuths out there who have done background checks and gone down the rabbit hole of social media accounts. Like, it's really impressive.
I have fallen into a couple of those rabbit holes where a new character has been discussed. And I'm like, all right, I need to find this person. Oh my gosh, we have a mutual friend. Oh my gosh, so-and-so has liked something. So every time there's someone from Arizona, I get super stoked.
Which, yeah, I mean, you're right in the middle of it, Amanda.
I know. Soon I'll be.
You're going to jump in that portal.
open. All right. So, updates this week. There was a conversation between Lori and her attorney, Mark Means, that was accidentally recorded by the jail.
Indeed. Now, this took place, well, the news was reported from Salt Lake City 13 originally, and it took place basically in the midst of the new COVID-19 stuff, right? So jails are having to change a lot of their policies as far as how inmates can communicate with their attorneys, visitors, so on and so forth. Deputy Isaac Payne, a spokesperson for the jail, did not provide an explanation into how the recording was made, just said that it was under investigation. Apparently, they accidentally recorded a conversation, as Amanda said, between Lori and Mark Means, which violates her statutory right to privacy.
I wish I could listen to that recording, though.
Me too. We were talking before we started recording, and we're like, what if Lori was like, I killed them?
That'd be so sad, though. Like, can you imagine? And how many people she's gone through, like, attorney-wise, too, that just, it's crazy.
It is. I expect, right, and we'll get to this here in a moment as far as a bond reduction and whatnot, but I fully expect them to try to, you know, take this and make a bigger deal out of it in some way.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's going to be a big play. But I mean, we still truly, truly don't know what happened. I mean, we've discussed it in several episodes, our thoughts on it, but again, we don't know.
Another thing this week, now I read this in the Christmas Misery group too. So, you know, shout out to the homies over there. Mm-hmm. So the Facebook group released Lori Vallow. Now it is an absolute cesspool of awful.
Oh man, yeah.
And it doesn't make a lot of logical sense. But someone's been running it. Now, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you would know that everyone has previously speculated that it was Christopher Perrette. Of Avow fame. And so a couple sleuths from Christmas Misery did a little armchair digging, and it would appear that Jared Ainsley runs the page is actually Joseph Murray. So they clicked on some pictures of that Facebook page, of Jared's Facebook page, this magical Jared. And if you go back far enough, it's actually Joseph Murray, Emma Daybell's husband. He changed the name on the photos.
Wait, what? So did he changed the name on the photos but still had pictures of himself?
That's
up?
How that's the level of intellect we're dealing with these people.
Oh, honey.
Just because you change the name on your Facebook account, sweetie, doesn't mean that it changes all the pictures that you previously uploaded of yourself.
Just what I don't comprehend is why would if that's his son-in-law, why would he be siding with him after that video from the storage unit? Wouldn't you be like, oh, you disrespected the mother? Like, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, it's really, really weird. Which would make sense, right? So Emma, Chad Daybell's daughter, Emma, is the one that's constantly, was constantly in the news, flipping off the camera, making the weird faces. And you know, she's a local teacher there. So it's pretty interesting. But apparently her husband does not fall far from the tree.
Well, I'm really glad he changed his name. No one will figure that one out. And again, we didn't do that legwork. I don't think I'm versed in figuring out matching IP addresses, unfortunately. Yes. But that is very, very interesting that they were able to put that together.
And a side note, right? So the Release Lori Vallow Facebook page has been frequently discussed in a lot of the Lori Vallow forums on Reddit, Facebook. And I find it interesting, right? Because they're constantly, like, I'm reading the most current post from them 4 hours ago here Tuesday evening, the 14th. And breaking, ultra desperate fascist state of Idaho delays bond reduction hearing for no valid reason. Now, their entire case, right, that they're trying to make is that Lori is not speaking and not divulging where her children are because she doesn't want the state of Idaho to take and seize her children.
When I think of Idaho, I think of fascists, right?
Well, he's already called, is it fascist or is it Mexican? Because he's already called, this person, the admin, has already called said that Lori's staying in a Mexican jail and then is like, oh, I'm sorry, it's the U.S. Oh. So please get it right, sir. Their entire case is that because the state of Idaho has no evidence that Lori has not been financially supporting her children.
No, they did show that they had proof,
yes,
of that.
Yes, they have shown through no transfer, you know, money, Venmo, any sort of, there has been no sort of financial support going to, you know, I guess where they recognize that Tyler or JJ would be. And so,
I mean, I guess it could be cash, maybe a stretch.
Unless she had like a lump sum of money that she's been taking from to give her. But I just find it, if the Lori, release Lori Vallow page, that's the crux of their entire argument, is that there's no way, they have no evidence that she deserted her children. But guess what? Hmm. All Lori has to do is say where they are.
Well, and you know what they think about the people that say that.
They have monkey skulls.
Oh, gosh. I don't get it. I mean, not that she'd just be let out, because there's a lot of other things happening behind, yes, the scenes, but I don't understand what she's getting from that. And yeah, if CPS or whatever were to take her kids, it's not like they just march in and take people's kids for, right, no reason.
And then they're constantly, you know, putting down Kay Woodcock, trying to say that that's fake drama and that there was bad blood before. So
I still, maybe if someone else knows some details on that, but as far as Kay, you know, now that they are seeking to take JJ, if, you know, if everything works out, before, I don't see why she would be worried about a custody battle. Maybe I've missed something huge, but why would the adopted kid's grandparents somehow get custody of a kid if you were taking good care of,
exactly,
it?
Exactly. It makes no sense. No, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, in lieu...
Right. You're still the mother.
Now, and then let's not forget. Now, also a question from our YouTube channel on one of our previous episodes from J9 asked if we knew what medications JJ was on. You know, mm-hmm, the best that our research can produce is that he was on risperidone. That should answer that question. But yeah, I mean, the medication not being refilled, you know, all this other stuff. So obviously that is not the actual crux of the issue. But yeah, so bottom line, the armchair sleuths uncovered that it's actually Emma Daybell's husband, allegedly, is the admin for this group. And since then, both Emma and Joshua have gone offline. They went private. They've been caught. Caught red-handed. So they are no longer on Facebook.
Okay. Well, I have, when you mentioned earlier that they were off, I did check some of the other Daybell kids and they are still on Facebook. So just them. So last week we talked about a police body cam. When Lori was with Tylee and with Melanie Gibb, and they were in the police station discussing this missing purse, right? That Charles had taken. Well, there was more of this police cam footage that I was able to locate this week. I don't know if somehow I skipped over it last week or if more was just released. But now you can find kind of the beginning of the cam, like when she actually arrives with Tylee. And there's a part where the police actually step away for a second and they call Charles about bringing the purse. And he seemed, you can't hear Charles' side of it, but he seems to be like really urging the police to look into Lori a little bit more as far as the order that they talk about. So remember last week we talked about the possibility of her being checked in for like a mental check, right? But anyways, last week they had talked about how they were trying to get approval for like a mental check, right, for Lori. And it sounds like Charles is like, at least my guess, of course I can't hear his side, is like he's like talking to the police trying to figure it out. And the police officer's like tone changes a couple times throughout this conversation. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like, you know, Charles is just gonna work with them and do what was told. So then they go back in after that conversation, and that's where it kind of leads off to where we had seen last week. Right. So the part where he's like talking to Lori, he's talking to Tylee a little bit. They're joking around slightly. And of course, Jason Mao comes up in conversation as well. Melanie and Lori talk about him. And again, we said that last week. Now, towards the end, It's kind of, it cuts away promptly. And I don't understand what happened between that or why it's cut, because some information is just muted, but this is completely cut. And then now the video is an officer talking to Gabe Bonilla. And I know you're going to be talking about him in a few minutes. But just to fill in everyone, he is like a friend of Charles Vallow, and he's a bishop in one of the wards, correct?
That's my understanding.
The officer calls Gabe and says, hey, you're a witness in a petition for involuntary committal for Lori Vallow. And it sounds like Gabe kind of understood it, what was happening already. Like, he wasn't shocked to get this call, right? And he just opens up to the police. The police are just asking for his side in this, right? And he says, well, Lori was getting into some religious things that troubled Charles. Gilbert PD, I guess, had helped Charles get into the house. So remember, Lori, I think last week we had said that she had left, stayed at a hotel, and Charles couldn't get into the house. I guess she locked him out. So Gilbert PD helped him get into the house. He also noticed some of his stuff was gone. I know she had mentioned she was getting rid of some of his stuff. And I think a couple episodes ago, we had, maybe towards the beginning, we talked about how at one point she had canceled his flights. And this is that time, right? He says that he was brought into a conversation at one point. So, like, Charles, he thinks, conferenced him into a conversation between him and Lori. He didn't realize it was live. Like, it was an actual conversation going at the time. He says that her statements were a little irrational and accused him of something, but wouldn't specify what the something was, but like kept being really accusatory, right? And then she also indicated that Charles was not who he was. What does that sound like?
Zombies.
Mm-hmm, that's what I thought too. And that, if you do plan on watching that video and want to skip ahead to some of the new stuff, it's at about 33 minutes and 20 seconds. Charles at one point does mention that he wanted to see the kids as well. And her response was, you want the kids? I'll give them to you. And Gabe said that was just very strange for a mom to say. And then it kind of ends with him just saying, you know, I want everyone to be treated the best way they can. And if Lori's in a bad state, that she gets the kind of care that, you know, she needs, and everything's resolved in the best way possible for the poor kids, is kind of the way that he ends it. And then that's kind of the end of the video, too. So the officer thanks him for his time, and that's it.
Well, also Melanie. So, you know, we've all been really kind of curious about Melanie, right? Because it's very obvious that she has lied for Lori and Chad, right?
And let's specify which Melanie. There are two characters named Melanie. This is IE. This is Gib.
Melanie claims she told the police, and at this point, the purse debacle, right? So Melanie says that she went to Lori and Charles's home because she received a message from Lori's phone. She got there and realized that it was actually Charles who had messaged her. She went on to say that she asked Charles for Lori's purse and phone. So if Melanie had actually believed that it was Lori messaging her, as she claimed, she would have had no idea that Charles stole her purse, and she would have had no idea, like no reason at all, to ask for Lori's purse or phone. So she caught herself, like she got caught in a lie right there. And then the police apparently asked her, you know, something about it. And then she just basically told them that she deleted the messages from Lori.
Interesting. Well, also remember, Tylee says that she has one of the old phones and that they got a SIM card for it. So it is possible that maybe they also texted her and she was like, wait, what? Or called her, you know?
That is true too, huh?
Mm-hmm. They did have a secondary working phone, so
okay.
I guess that's up to, it is a possibility for sure.
That is true.
So again, if you want to check out the body cam footage that we're talking about, it is from Gilbert PD, and it is from January 31st of 2019.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I highly recommend, if you're interested in the case, of sitting through. It's like, how long would you say? It's about 40 minutes?
Yeah, I think it's like 35 minutes, and it is like a... Remember how I said that it kind of cuts strange? The way that Justin Lum talks about it, so again, he's for Fox 10 Phoenix, he says it's a compilation. So maybe that explains, you know, maybe he stopped with Lori, was all done, and then, you know, talked to other people and came back to calling Gabe, who knows? But the compilation's from January 31st. And if you just want it all together where you don't have to search out all these videos, Reddit has a really good one on the Lori Vallow page.
Yes, it does.
Speaking I guess of Gabe.
Well, let's start with Jason Mao, because okay. He's also mentioned in the purse debacle video.
Oh, true. They nonchalantly dropped that they know an ex-police officer.
Multiple times, actually. It's really odd. So let's start with Jason Mao. So Jason Mao has done podcasts with Lori, Chad, and Melanie Gibbs. Now, he has personally taken credit for introducing Lori and Chad, and apparently, allegedly, has said that he told them that they should be married, and at that time, their spouses were both previously alive. He did a lot of podcasting with them. Now, if you recall correctly, he is a former Arizona police officer who resigns before he could be investigated. Apparently, he had fallen asleep multiple times while on the job, did some pretty shoddy work. So he was being investigated and then just resigned.
Ooh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was injured, supposedly on the line of duty, by his own account, but it was actually a pre-existing condition, according to the police department.
Is that what they talk about in that video, too, how he got injured?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, he resigned. He's no longer a police officer, right? And if you watch his, like, Facebook, I've watched them before, but he basically talks about how he loves to basically go to the shooting range. He's a gun person, right? Like, he's a gun nut.
Okay.
He apparently... I haven't verified this, but he claims that he worked for the Rexburg Police Department for a short time.
Really? What would bring him from Rexburg to, I think he worked, in that video they talk about like downtown Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big difference.
That's a big jump.
In places.
Exactly. Now, he claims that he has actually worked for the Rexburg Police Department, which, I mean, if he's friends with Lori, Chad, you know, he knows Julie Rowe, all of those. I mean, it wouldn't be terribly surprising, I guess, but I have not personally verified that, I would like to say.
Mm-hmm.
He is known for over-elaboration and stretching the truth. When Charles supposedly stole her purse and phone, Jason Mao was one of the people that Lori was concerned about being able to get in touch with.
Yeah, him, and she name dropped someone named Thor that I have been, just crazily searching for and reading about lately.
Thor is not a common name.
No, so it was kind of easy to find.
Jason Mao has done a little bit of work. He has written some books, you know, and things like that. Currently, he teaches online high school LDS for the LDS Church. He does their high school seminary work. So that's what Jason Mao is up to these days. Now, the reason I'm bringing up Jason Mao out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
So back to the purse debacle in the video, right?
Yes.
So you mentioned Gabe.
Yes.
Okay. So here is Gabe. Now, Gabe, as Amanda said, was the person that Charles Vallow had the police call for a character, right? Like a witness. Now, his name is actually David Gabe Bonilla. Now, he was one of Charles Vallow's friends, and it's unknown and unverified, but yet there have been many reports that he was the bishop of a ward, right?
Okay.
But it's possible that he was the bishop of Charles and Lori's ward there in Arizona. Ooh. It has been verified, though, regardless, that Charles got relationship advice from him, confiding in him about what Lori was messed up with, Jason Mao and Chad Daybell. So Charles, it has been confirmed that Charles did, in fact, confide in Gabe Bonilla about his marriage issues and problems, conflicts that he was having with Lori. And supposedly, again, Gabe was his bishop, which would make sense, right? Going to your bishop for marital advice.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where it gets a little shoddy, right? Gabe is an illustrator for some of Jason Mao's books. So again, let that hit you for a second. Gabe is an illustrator and working and knowing, most likely, Chad Daybell, Jason, you know, Jason Mao. So he's already in that circle. He's already in that circle of people. So also, Gabe is currently the owner of Bonilla Design and Advertising, and he's married to Nicole Carson Bonilla. But here, this actually, when I read this, I got like, you know, not to make fun, but full body chills. Because that means that Charles Vallow was literally confiding in a man who is most likely helping Chad Daybell, you know?
Like, in his poor call. Charles. He just was super unlucky.
he was really, I mean, my God, with friends like those, like, who needs enemies, right? So that means most likely that Gabe knew about the cult, you know, at least knew about the group and Chad Daybell. And poor Charles, you know, went to him to talk about advice and be like, yeah, Lori is talking to this guy named Chad Daybell and, you know, doing podcasts with Jason Mao. And then Gabe is sitting there like, ho, 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 you know, like, it's just so incredibly sad.
That is the sound I picture coming from Chad's face.
Yes. It's just so sad. Like, I truly feel for Charles Vallow's family, because it just seems like this keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, for sure. Like, again, we don't know. You know, Tylee seems to side with Lori, at least in that video. Like, maybe they were bickering quite a bit and she was just, like, done with it. I don't know. All around, on paper, he didn't seem like a bad guy.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, even if he did, you know, no one deserves to really get murdered, you know, in the fashion that he was. But I just find it just so incredibly odd and weird that all of this is just so far reaching, right? Like, Charles Vallow went to his freaking ward to talk to his supposed bishop, who likewise is working with Jason Mao. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it's just so crazy, like, how small the Mormon community must be between, you know, Gilbert, Arizona, where they were, and then Rexburg. Like, it seems like so many people go back and forth in knowing people.
Right.
And also, side note entirely, completely off topic, but Amanda and I went down the rabbit hole, I mean, and looked at Zulema. So yes. Zulema Pestinus, right? You know, married to Alex.
Yes, for
a couple weeks before he dropped dead on the toilet. Uh-huh. Zulema Pestinus has a lot of connections in Rexburg with a lot of people who ran in Lori and Charles's circle there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still wish I could figure out how they got together, her and Alex, and just her direct, you know, reason to be involved in any of this. And remember, she is going, there's, what was it, photos, videos of her at Melanie with an I, her court appearances too in Arizona.
Yep, that's true.
So
It's so weird.
I
hope we get resolution with all of this, because I want to know, like, this is a massive, massive, massive cast of characters, right? So added, you know, this week we got a new one and his name is Gabe. So,
right.
It's Jesus, like, it will never end. But it's really incredible to me how small this community is. You know, it spans what? Three, we got Utah, Idaho, and Arizona, and somehow everyone knows everyone. Everyone's worked with everyone. It's crazy to me.
It truly is. And even how Ian last week had said, like, what a small world, how he's run into it. Anyone I've discussed the case with that, you know, was part of LDS or anything, they're like, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so, or, you know, I used to live in Rexburg. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, everyone has been there. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows someone or has spoken to someone who knows someone that's been part of this in some fashion. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. So what's the next thing?
I mean, we kind of touched on it, but the bond reduction hearing was moved. So it is now set for April 24th. So instead of this week, it's going to be next Friday. And then if she does post bail, her address will be sealed.
Which, you know, it's so hot. Rexburg is so big. She's just going to disappear into the ether, never to be heard from again.
Into that trailer that Chad's looking at building.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is. I don't remember the name it was, but...
And then also, don't forget, too, so the British tabloid, The Sun, right?
Yes.
And, you know, every tabloid has an element of truth to it, typically, when, you know, in cases like this, a nugget of truth. So The Sun on Monday, yesterday, claimed that Lori was set to, quote, walk free amid COVID-19 concerns. However, Madison County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Isaac Payne told East Idaho News that Lori Vallow would not be released because of COVID-19.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of jails are, and that was a big concern a lot of people had, is a lot of jails are putting people on house arrest or, you know, for nonviolent crimes, just because a lot of inmates are testing positive for COVID.
Right.
But Lori is just going to have to wait for that portal in July, apparently.
Well, I mean, if she doesn't need to eat and, you know, she can't die, I think she'll be fine.
Yes. Yes.
She's translated, okay?
She's translated being. So I guess, like, one last thing in terms of new players and whatnot.
I want trading cards. Can you make that happen?
Yes, I will, and I will license them.
Thank you.
Indeed. So, Hector Sosa. Now, I joke frequently on this show because preparing a people, right, PAP, which I find so fucking funny. So the PAP people, they're the ones that Chad used to go to like book fairs and revival type things with. They're like, we don't know him. Like right. pulling a Mariah Carey, we don't know her. So Hector Sosa is part of that, preparing a people. Good friends with Chad. So on Reddit, apparently Hector Sosa's wife posted about the children. And
well, it's a post from on Reddit. Yes. From a Facebook group, but I cannot find what group this is from. So if you know, please tag me or let me know.
Yeah, there's so many these days. Mm-hmm. I'm in like 12 and there's so many.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of going off of what Christopher Perrette has said. Now, Christopher Perrette has stated multiple times now, the children are fine. I talked to Chad. They're just, you know, chilling. He's writing a book about this. Like, the children are all good. Yeah. So apparently Hector Sosa's wife posted, and like Amanda said, as part of a Facebook group, she said,
yeah. It says the release Lori Vallow Facebook group, but it could have already been taken down. That might be why I can't find it.
That is true. It says, yeah. This screenshot from Reddit says, from the release Lori Vallow Facebook page today, April 13th, Hector Sosa's wife says the children are fine. Her post said, just because I believe in the rule of law does not mean I don't care about the children. They are fine. Consider, though, that law enforcement knew the grandparents hadn't seen the children since September. It took law enforcement until the beginning of this year to come up with any charges against her. They say desertion because they have not seen money going for their care. How would they know that unless they thought the children were alive? And they'd have to know where they were also to determine no money, at least electronically, was going to the children or the caretaker of the children. And then she basically goes on, if whatever your belief, her rights are being violated and blah, blah, blah. But she explicitly states the children are fine.
And how would she have any, I mean, unless they are being tucked away with like the preparing of people or a vow or something like that, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the chances of that are getting slimmer every day, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, statistics will tell you that, you know, every day that someone is missing, the likelihood of them being alive is waning. And I think I can speak for all of us here when I say that we really, truly hope that the children are squirreled away somewhere, you know, hidden. But statistically speaking, that's becoming more unlikely by the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I hope we're wrong still. I have a little piece of me that still goes, you know, they're just being kept like against their will or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, not that that's great, obviously, but
yeah,
hoping they're alive. Okay, so another update that has been going around, it looks like since around the 10th, is the Attorney General taking over the murder conspiracy investigation in the Daybell case.
Yes. This, I would say, is probably the biggest piece of news this week.
Mm-hmm. So the documents are on EastIdahoNews.com. They have it under letter from Attorney General about Fremont County Daybell case. So you can actually read the specifics. It's not easy to understand. I will just say that.
No, it is not.
Had to read it a couple times. But the Attorney General is taking over that investigation. There is a document showing that Chad and Lori both are being investigated for conspiracy and possibly murder.
Yes. Murder, attempted murder, and conspiracy in regards to Tammy Daybell's death.
And how do they open that unless they... it went over my head. I don't know. But how do they open that without that autopsy? Or does that mean that they have the autopsy?
That means that likely the autopsy has been completed and they would like additional help from other additional prosecutors.
Got it. They wouldn't have opened that for no reason, obviously, right?
Right. So basically, the Fremont County prosecuting attorney asked two other county prosecutors to take over the Tammy Daybell death investigation. They told her they could not.
Right. So they're like, too much.
They're like, too much. Nope. So Marsha Murdoch went to the Idaho Attorney General and requested help. Mm-hmm. And they agreed. So the agreement was signed by the Idaho Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin and Fremont County Prosecutor Marsha Murdoch. They signed an agreement.
Yes.
So the attorney general will provide investigative and prosecutorial assistance without the involvement of the local prosecutor. Mm-hmm. The letter reads, the AG will assume full responsibility and authority for the case. All decisions regarding the case shall be the responsible of the attorney general. Now, as part of this agreement, the Fremont County will agree to pay the costs associated with the investigation, except for the salaries of those employees at the attorney general's office. So basically, this is a large scale investigation at this point. Mm-hmm. Tammy Daybell's autopsy likely came back, and it includes most likely a shit ton of evidence. So they are seeking further assistance.
Right. They'll help them, but they are not paying for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was signed on the 9th. So I think the news article started floating around on the 10th from what I can see. So that is insane. I am every day. That's one of the first things I'm looking for is, can I see that yet? Can I see the autopsy? I am still dying to know if it is octopus venom, if it's from a pufferfish, or
oh my gosh,
if it is, what was your theory? The
my theory was Visine. The Visine, same. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eye drops.
Yeah. I don't think she just naturally died in her sleep for some reason.
So my guess, my money is on Visine.
Yeah.
Well, my money is on eye drops. So I guess it sounds like we are not terribly far off as far as, at least in Tammy's case, finding out what happened.
Right. And then what was shared with us too, that Ian, so our guest from our last episode, shared that she did finally get a headstone.
Yes, I'm so happy.
And it has little ducks on it. I know she loved ducks.
It's so sad. All of this is so incredibly sad. She deserved so much better.
Oh my gosh, yes. She seemed so sweet. I don't know if you've ever looked at her Facebook and all the stories, or even like her obituary, but she just seemed like such a sweet person.
Mm-hmm. And then in a lot of the Facebook groups too, a lot of people have shared who knew Tammy personally, went to, you know, on trips with Tammy or camp outings, and mm-hmm. they said that she was absolutely the sweetest, brightest light, you know. So I hope that there can be some sort of resolution and justice for Tammy in this.
Oh my gosh, me too. And I did check to the medical examiner site for Maricopa County, and still nothing for Alex either.
That was my next question for you.
Yeah.
Is what's the status of that? Why, sir, did you poop on the floor?
All right. Well, and again, he was in the bathroom, and when Zulima's son found him, he was very hesitant to step in and help because there was feces on the floor.
I will never, every time I hear of some sort of emergency or something, until the day I personally die, I will think of Zulima's son being like, no.
That is the worst. Again, I think I've said it on like every time we talk about it, but that is the worst 911 call I have ever listened to. Like, I've heard, you know, hardcore emergencies and terrible things on 911 calls, but I've never heard someone so unwilling to help someone that is dying.
Okay, so when I was in my early 20s, right, I worked at 911 briefly as a 911 operator. Like, I took the phone calls. I didn't do dispatch. I just took the phone calls and sent the notes.
How would
you
handle that call?
Okay, so the most shocking thing, everyone always asks me, what's like the weirdest call that you got? Now, I've heard suicides. I've actually heard a murder, and I've heard a bunch of like, you know, traumatizing things. However, the craziest thing I ever heard was like, she was in her 90s, I believe. It was like a 90 something year old woman. And she called and she said, calm as day, my husband just killed himself. And I was like, okay, ma'am, you know, what's going on? How did, you know, what happened? And do you need to attempt CPR? Yeah. And calm as she could, she said, ma'am, he doesn't have a head. And I was like, excuse me. And apparently her husband was chronically ill, in a lot of pain and so forth. And so they went onto their back deck. And this is reported from a couple EMT friends that I had that responded to the call. And apparently he planned to kill himself. And they went onto the deck and they had a cup of coffee together. And he took a double barrel shotgun and committed suicide right there on the back deck.
No.
And she was calm as day. Like, she was just, you know, matter of fact, ma'am, he doesn't have a head. I was like, okay.
But she was also expecting that. Like, she knew what was going to come. Yeah.
Apparently she knew what was going to come. However, the EMT friends who went to the scene said that there was brain matter like 50 feet from the site of where he did it. So it was apparently a very, very, very grotesque scene. But yeah, it's just, you know, if you knew that was coming, that's my point, I guess, in telling that story. Is if you knew it was coming, that makes you be able to handle that type of call a lot more.
But so I feel like the son didn't even know they were married. So let alone, oh, hey, I'm going to kill my new husband / boyfriend thing that you've met. I don't know.
No, it's true. I have no idea. But he was not about it. Every time I hear that 911 call, I think of that little old lady that I talked to. She's like, no, I'm good. He doesn't have a head. And the kid's like, nah, I'm good. He's covered in poop.
I like picture him, and I've never even seen a picture of him, but he's what, or late teens, early 20s, maybe. At least that's what I feel like I've read it somewhere.
Yeah.
But he's just like walking in. I feel like he has like the phone on his shoulder. He's like, yeah, like he's like dying. Like that's kind of the vibe I get. I know he didn't say it that way, but
yeah, no,
but there's feces on the floor. What? Who? It can wash off, like save his life. You know, in my opinion, I don't have strong feelings for Alex at all. I feel like he probably did some shady stuff, but still save him.
Yeah, it was very nonchalant. But I mean, I guess that pretty much sums it up for the week, right? As far as current updates
for this week, Friday, we'll know if her bond is lowered.
What are you feeling on that?
I mean, the new judge supposedly is supposed to be like no nonsense, so I doubt it.
You know, honestly, so I was originally of the camp that believed that it was kind of all bullshit, right? Of people being like, oh my God, the Mormon church is going to come swoop in and save Lori. And now I don't think it has necessarily anything to do with the Mormon church. I feel like this particular core group, right? Gabe, Jason, Melanie, all of these people, right? Mm-hmm. From the language and verbiage that they use and their documents, like allegedly the one that Ian Pawlowski wrote, like there are quite a few people possibly in this group.
There are. Yeah. And it spans all over, it seems like, at least here in Arizona and then
up in Idaho. Yeah,
Rigby, all of that area.
So what if her request to get another judge was a ploy to try to get one that's friendly to the group? You know,
I don't know. I mean, if they're opening more cases, I just feel like isn't that another reason to keep her where they can keep a good eye on her?
I would say so. Now, I do not know, right? Because it's under investigation currently. Mm-hmm. That's a violent crime, right? Like conspiracy, murder and conspiracy and attempted murder. Those are all violent crimes. So is that going to affect the likelihood of her obtaining bail?
I don't know if it can. You know, legally, I don't know. But I feel like if it's all charges within the same state, possibly. Maybe if someone with a law background knows, that would be cool if you could email us.
If you know, are you a legal expert? Do you know someone who is? Can you please email us at wesawthedevil@gmail.com?
Right. I don't know. I feel like just looking at it from the outside, like now you have more of the charges being investigated. Like, no, you need to stay put till we know if you're innocent or not.
And don't forget that they're requesting the bail be dropped to $10,000, which I assume at this point is probably about all that Chad has left.
Oh my gosh. So speaking of Chad real quick, someone on April 10th posted a picture on Justin Lum's post saying Chad in Rexburg yesterday. Again, I can't verify that was truly taken on the 9th or not, but he looks a bit different. What did you think about this photo of him walking?
Mr. Potato Head has lost a considerable amount of weight. That is for sure.
Yeah. He is no longer stress eating.
No. Well, he doesn't have to eat. He's translated.
Oh, so. You're right. Oh my goodness. Thank you.
He's got to fit through that portal somehow, Amanda.
Oh my gosh. It's like under Lori's bed now, like in her jail cell.
Right. So, oh God. But okay. Like a silly piece too, is that I know that because of, you know, quarantine and the shelter in places, like mm-hmm. pretty much everyone in America has watched Tiger King at this point.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I am not a fan, I would like to say. However, I think that the memes that are coming out of it, for Lori Vallow, because Carol Baskin
had
the same kind of wedding photos that Lori did.
Yes. And what the hell, people? Those aren't wedding photos. What was that?
Like BDSM.
That was the strangest shit I've ever seen. Like,
it was disturbing.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, at least Lori and Chad had like a good photographer, you know.
that gets mad and wants money if you use their photos.
Right. But yeah, the Carol Baskins one, it's for some reason, it's that that pose that Lori does as Chad's playing ukulele. Carol Baskins did the same thing, except her newlywed husband had a club.
So weird. And yeah, everyone keeps going, can you do that case? We've gotten a couple messages and comments. I don't know how I feel about it. It took me a while because everyone kept going, please watch this, watch this. I want your take, I want your take. So I was like, oh, okay. And I watched it and I can't get over the animal abuse, I guess.
I can't either. And, you know, it's terrible. And then more information has come out after the fact that he murdered, like just cold-blooded murdered. And then did you hear about the woman's horse?
No.
Okay, let me ruin your life right now. So, and this is, I'm also addressing people who have requested that we cover this case because right. The answer is no. A woman who was familiar with Joe apparently contacted him and she had a horse and she said, hey, I have to go out of town. Do you mind boarding my horse on your property for
a while?
On
your tiger ranch?
Like, on your tiger ranch. And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. Apparently, the same afternoon, he talked to one of his employees there and said, hey, we'll say something happened. He then shoots the horse dead, cuts it up with a chainsaw, and feeds it to his tigers. And then the woman comes back from her trip and it's like, okay, I'm ready to pick up my horse. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Something, you know, it fell sick. Something happened to it. This man, and I cannot handle people acting like he's this like big funny celebrity and oh, he's so funny and fuck Carol Baskins. Like, he is a monster. He is an absolute monster who deserves absolutely every like ounce of prison time that he's getting. So no, I do not want to relive and like research and go into insane amounts of animal abuse. So the answer is no.
Yeah, I can't do the animal abuse. I can look up a lot of things and I can read a lot, but I'm so sorry. I know if you guys want it, like there is a lot of people covering it right now. And it really, it wasn't even him that they wanted us to cover. It was Carol. But yeah, just
side note, Carol did not kill her husband. He was a drug dealer in Costa Rica and he probably got killed by a drug dealer. But yeah, let's keep blaming the you know, the eccentric woman.
Well, they're saying that there's no proof that he arrived to Costa Rica from what I understand. But I have not like I watched the series and I gave everyone that. But it was very hard. It was hard for me to watch and just understand that they're breeding these animals and being terrible to them and the people that pay money for it. How dare you pay money for that? That's
how
so awful
dare you. And then, you know, breeding hundreds of cubs and giving them to tiny little petting zoos and like little roadside attraction zoos, it's so terrible. So yeah. No.
The only time I've come across, like physically have seen it happen, was in, you know, some trips that we've taken out of country, and just the people that line up for that. And I'm just like, you know what you're supporting, right? Like just to take a picture with a tiger or some, you know, other exotic animal. No, don't give these people money because they're going to continue to do it. And I just feel like the amount of people that watched that and was like, oh, I want to hold a tiger. I'm like, you did not get the point in anything you just watched, please.
Right, exactly.
I don't know how many posts I've seen of people going, you can hold a tiger. You can pet a tiger places.
Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. That's what you're funding. You're funding like literal animal farms.
Right. So that's our side tangent. Yes, we've seen your comments and we very much like, I'm happy that you're reaching out to us and wanting us to do a certain topic and continue to do it. It's just anything involving animal abuse. I'm so sorry. That is just not our forte.
Yes. And speaking solely for myself, I really, it was an entertaining show. I didn't care for it much because of the animal abuse, but yeah, I don't really care for, and it has come out since, right? Even with Doc Antle and, you know, a bunch of other people, that the way that Netflix presented the information, there are a lot of, inconsistencies and basic lies too. So we like to try to be as factual as possible, go off of court documents,
I mean,
court
we
cases.
Joke.
Yeah.
We do joke. I'll give everyone that. But yeah, a couple people were very much misrepresented in that show as well. That's not cool.
Right. Completely agree. But if you do, and this is to any and all of our listeners, right? So if you have as I stated in the beginning of this episode, we will be releasing an episode on the East Area Rapist later this week. But if you have another case that you would like us to delve into, you know, similar to Lori Vallow, or just cover in a one episode, feel free to let us know. We are always interested in taking user requests and hearing what you have to say, feedback. And you, again, can email us at wesawthedevil@gmail.com. Twitter and Facebook, our handle is We Saw the Devil, or on Instagram at We Saw the Devil Podcast.
But no animal abuse, please. Researching the East Area Rapist one almost made me cry. So I'm not good at animal death, guys.
So I guess that pretty much sums it up for this week. Again, from what Amanda said earlier, check out our Patreon, mm-hmm. become a patron, support the show. We have some goodies that we can send to you of all different kinds, and shout out social media if you have a business, things like that. So check that out. Check out our social media. And again, wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
Stay safe.
Until next crime.